Open with me if you have your Bible or turn your device on or whatever way you find the scriptures. Go to Genesis chapter 37. We'll be doing the last verse of chapter 37, and then we'll turn over to chapter 39 and begin there. I started this and did part of the introduction back around the 9th of September, and I'd like to move on with this message because it's very, very important. I do not believe this morning that you are here by accident. I think you're here because of an appointment. An appointment that you have with God. God sets up appointments that we might be at a particular place at a particular time so that we can be introduced or we can receive what He has for us. And I think that you're here by divine appointment that you might hear this message. I've entitled it, "The Lord Was With Joseph." But the subtitle would be, "Never Alone." Never Alone. In Genesis chapter 37, Joseph begins that difficult, hard life. Several years where everything that he thought would never happen, happens. And in verse 37, it says, meanwhile, or 36 of chapter 37, it says, meanwhile, the Midianites sold Joseph in Egypt to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard. And then we get over into chapter 39, verses 1 through 6, and I'll read them very quickly. Now Joseph had been taken to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph. What an awkward place for that to be. I mean, here the guy has just been sold as a slave. He was sold to the Midianites or the Ishmaelites, and then he was sold to Potiphar. But God was with him, so that he prospered and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything that he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant or assistant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything that he owned. From the time he put him in charge of the household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph, and the blessings of the Lord was on everything that Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. Now, when we last, in our last message, left Joseph, He was being betrayed by his brothers. He was being sold as a slave. Joseph had been sold to the Ishmaelites for about $100. His brother sold him for the price of a crippled slave. They didn't think much of Joseph. The Ishmaelites took Joseph to Egypt and put him up for sale there. Now remember our other messages on Joseph, where he had the dreams and he was the favored son of his father, and he had the coat of many colors, and everything was going his way, and it was rosy and looking good. His father was wealthy and had chosen him, although he was one of the youngest. His father had chosen him to be over the household and to be like the elder brother. So Joseph thought he had it made. Now put yourself in his shoes for just a moment. You're 17 years old. You're the favored son in the family of 12 sons. Your father has chosen you to be the head of the family and has given you that beautiful robe to symbolize that fact. You're on the path to power, influence, and prominence, not only in your family, but in the area. And then in one moment, everything is gone. Every dream has crashed. Every difficulty that could be imagined has been slung in your direction. You're stripped of your coat. You're betrayed by people who should have loved you. You're separated from the father that you love. You're sold as a slave and carried off into a strange land. Imagine the humility of being examined and sold at a slave auction. Imagine the whispers that Satan must have whispered in his ear, in his heart. Satan will lie to you and tell you that God doesn't love you anymore, that God's not with you, that you have blown it, and your whole world is cracked up and crashed. That's what was going on. Imagine those lies coming at such a low point. I mean, he's just a country boy growing up with the sheep. He's in chains now in the capital city of the most advanced nation in the world, with architecture, with all of the niceties of life that you could imagine. The greatest city on earth at that point in history. And you're there in chains to be sold. Imagine what it was like when they topped that last sand dune or hill and the wonders of ancient Egypt spread out before him on the plains of Gaza. The great pyramid would have been standing in Joseph's day. In fact, it was standing thousands of years before that, when his great-great-grandfather Abraham visited Egypt years before. Joseph would have beheld the Sphinx in all of its grandeur and beauty before the nose and everything was shot off and the colors faded. He would have seen it as it was and was supposed to be. Imagine this guy that's used to smelly sheep and the opulence that suddenly he finds himself in. The palaces of the Pharaoh and all of his rulers. What a culture shock for this boy from the country. On the surface, it seems that there could be no circumstance that would have been any worse. Nothing could happen that would be worse than what he's facing at this moment. In truth, those difficult days were nothing more than just stepping stones to greater glory. If somebody would have told you that, if you were in similar circumstance, you would have poo-pooed them. Oh, you're crazy. And Joseph probably would have done the same thing. I mean, about the time you're standing there naked and there's a bunch of googly eyes looking at you and they're bidding on you to buy you. And somebody walks up and says, oh, this is just a stepping stone to great glory. Oh, yeah, right. His whole world had crashed. Nothing could have been worse. It may have appeared. No, stay with me. It may have appeared that all of Joseph's dreams were shattered. All hope was gone. Everything that he had imagined had shriveled. But the God who gave the dream in the first place, the God who blessed him in the first place, was still there. And he was still working behind the scenes to ensure that every dream he had, every desire of his heart, would be fulfilled in God's time. I don't care what your circumstances are. I don't care how bad it looks. If your heart is given to God, you are not alone. He is right there with you. And he will carry you all the way through. He will do what he said he will do. He will bring to pass what he said he would bring to pass. I don't care how bad it looks. You are never, never, never alone. And it says so in Genesis 39:2. And the Lord was with Joseph. In those terrible surroundings, in that low point, in that moment of almost desperation, God was with Joseph. I want us to learn a great truth that our God is always with his people. Jesus said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. I will be with you always. That means every way. Every trial. Every hardship. Every moment of every day. Why is he there? He's there to accomplish his plans for your life. Jeremiah, when God was talking to him, said, I knew you before you were ever formed in your mother's womb. That same declaration has come through the ages, and it's just as real today as it was in Jeremiah's day. God is saying to each one of you, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. I had plans for you, that you would be blessed and you would succeed, not fail. God has no failures. And if you feel like a failure, that's a lie of the enemy. God doesn't raise up failures. He has winners. I've read the last part of the book. We win. I'm on God's team, me and you, God. His plans for our lives is that we would prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. He's given us that message. But Satan will lie and say, no, God blundered. He picked the wrong person. You're a loser. You're never a loser when you walk with God. I want us to join early in his days of slavery, this young man named Joseph. I want to show you the ways that we can see that God was with him. So that you can see that God is with you. As we look at these truths, as we wade through these truths, I want you to see what God did for Joseph. And what he did for Joseph, he'll also do for you. So I want to share with you the ways God blesses this young man, because in those ways, he can bless you. Point one on your outline. God protected him. You say, well, Pastor, it doesn't sound like that God protected him. Oh, yeah. God, have you ever played chess? If you have, I have too, but I'm not good at it. I can beat people that don't know how to play. Because I used to lie to them and say, you can't move that way. Even when they're moving, what is that pointy-headed thing where you go? No, the horsey that you go over and up. Anyway, yeah, rook. Somebody called it a rook. I thought a rook was a bird. Why do you call a horse a rook? A rook's a board. I've played rook. But anyway, I'm getting on. Sometimes I park my motorcycle, and if I go too far away, I'll forget where I put it. Genesis chapter 37, verse 36. The Midianites sold Joseph in Egypt to Potiphar. God protected Joseph by directing the Midianites to go to the slave auction when Potiphar was there looking for somebody that he could hire, somebody that he could buy, somebody that he could bring home. And God said, I want Joseph to be with Potiphar because Potiphar is way high up and he's going to be introduced to the cream of the crop of Egypt. And I want Joseph there. So as I've already stated, It seems that everything had fallen apart for Joseph, and yet, when you take a moment and begin to examine the facts, all of a sudden it becomes very clear that Joseph was right in the palm of a divine hand of God, and that God was moving him and putting him right where he wanted him for Joseph's benefit. Considering all that he faced, too many things just happened for it to be coincidence. God was causing things to happen. God was causing things to fall into place just for him, just for his man, because he had a destiny for Joseph. He had to get all of his people down into Egypt to fulfill what he had already told Abraham. He said, I'm going to carry all the people down into Egypt. And he told Abraham about this. So God created a famine in his land so that he could get all of the clan of Jacob, which was the nation of Israel in blooming, in bud form. He wanted them down into Egypt because he wanted to judge the Egyptians. Too many things just fell into place. Remember the intervention of Reuben? Genesis 37. 21 and 22. When Reuben stood up to his brothers said, let's kill him. And Reuben said, no. Don't shed his blood. Just throw him into the pit, the cistern over here. We'll leave him in the wilderness. But don't lay a hand on him. Judah had an idea. Where did that idea come from? He said, let's sell Joseph as a slave. Let's make a little cash. Genesis chapter 37, verses 26 and 27. Let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood. And all the other brothers agreed with him. Remember, right about that time, the Ishmaelites come over the hill. And it may have been Judah that says, Ishmaelites, right on time. In Genesis 37:28, when the Midianite merchants, or the Ishmaelite merchants, they're both the same, came by, his brothers pulled Joseph out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt. God's wanting Joseph down into Egypt, and now he's going. And then he's being sold, and Potiphar says, I want him. Chapter 37, 36. The Midianites sold Joseph in Egypt to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard. So Potiphar is the captain of the guard. His position would have been chief executioner. Man, I want to get in good with the chief executioner. Because if it comes my turn, I want him to say, no, he's my friend. He was the head of Pharaoh's secret police. He was responsible for protecting Pharaoh himself and dealing with those that would dare to attack the king. Potiphar, by virtue of his position, would have been in contact with all the dignitaries and the political officials of Egypt. And because he was, Joseph would be also. It's not outside the realm of possibilities that many, many of them spoke with Joseph because he served them. Listen, God sets everything up perfectly. We just have to see it. We have to accept it. God set everything up just like it needed to be so that Joseph arrived at the exact time, at the exact moment that he needed to be there. Joseph might have been a slave, but he was safe within the arms of an almighty divine God of providence. He might have been separated from his earthly father, but his heavenly father went with him and before him into Egypt and prepared everything for his arrival. I hope you see how much control that the Lord has by looking at the actions of the people that were involved in this account, this story, these happenings. Joseph's brothers, the Ishmaelite traders, Potiphar, all serving their own selfish interest, or so it seems. His brothers wanted to get rid of Joseph and get rid of those stupid dreams that he had. The Ishmaelites were looking for a prophet, and they saw a young boy that was striping and strong, and the Bible said he looked good. Potiphar was just looking for a good deal on a slave that he could buy. What they could not see is that they were all unwittingly accomplishing the very purposes of a sovereign God as they moved like pawns all through this chess game. I don't know about you, but I find it very comforting that God can use anybody and anything. Even lost people, even donkeys. If God can do that, guess what? He can use me and you too. I'm not calling you a donkey or a lost person, but I'm just saying you ain't hard-headed enough for God not to use. All of this was perfectly fitting. Isn't it a blessing to know that all the events of our lives are held within the hand of God and is a part of his plan for me and you? That's where we fit. It's right there. While the events of Joseph's lives appeared to be out of control and headed for disaster, they were actually being controlled by God for his prospering. Joseph was being protected by God. Notice how God protected him. He protected him by his presence in Genesis chapter 39 and 2. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. What safer place could he be? What better place could he be? God protected him from a bitter spirit. Let me tell you, one of the hardest things, one of the most damning things is a bitter spirit. Bitterness has roots, the Bible says. And when you allow bitterness to come into your heart, it begins to grow into every area of your life. Every emotion will have those roots of bitterness that's coming into it. And if you're not careful, it will infect and start growing in every portion, every part of your life. And God protected Joseph from having that spirit of bitterness. There's no hint that Joseph was angry about what was happening to him. There's no hint that he was angry about the difficulties that he was having to face. He surrendered to God even in the hardships. God protected him by his providential supply. The dreams that God had given Joseph. Back over in chapter 37, verses 5 through 11. The sheaves, the sun, the moon, the stars, as they worshiped him, they were not off track. Joseph probably thought they were gone. But God knew, no, they're going to happen. Just like I said they would. They were being fulfilled in God's time, in God's way. God was moving. I'm sure those dreams sustained Joseph during his dark days. When he was so tired, he could hardly lift himself up, and Potiphar was calling for more. When he was locked in prison, charged with something that was a total lie, it was probably the dreams that he fell back on. But you and I have that same protection. When we're walking with God and God has given us visions or dreams or desires and we're going toward those and suddenly the bottom falls out and we're not sure of which way to turn, what we do is remember what God has said and stand firm by faith on what he has already said, because he shall bring it to pass exactly as he said it. You and I have his presence. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, it says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. In Matthew 28 and 20, he says, I will be with you always, even until the very end of the age. We have his help dealing with our past, our problems, and our pain in his way. You say, Pastor, and I've had so many say, you don't know what I've done. Hey, when it's under the blood, it don't matter what you've done. It can be washed away. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And it does just an absolute wonderful. It's better than Tide. I'm telling you. It has a fresher smell than Gain. It cleans all the way to the very depths. White as snow. Though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be white like wool. Yeah. Although they're crimson, they shall be white as snow. Oh. Listen, we have that. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as Christ, in Christ, God has forgiven you. We don't have to become bitter, angry, or unforgiving. We can display that sweet, sweet spirit that God is moving in us. Even during the most trying of times, He's right there with us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Thou art with me. All the way. We have God's promise in Romans chapter 8, 28. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to His promises. A lot of what happens in life just doesn't make good sense, does it? But it does not change the fact that God is in control of everything that's happening in your life and around you, if you will allow Him to be. Everything that happens to us, Isaiah 46 and 10 says, I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. And then I'll close with these thoughts. Obedience to the Lord. Being obedient to our God, to our Savior Jesus, may lead us into the very eye of the most terrible storms. You may be caught in a whirlwind so strong that you can't tell up from down or in from out. When you walk with God, and God is leading you, He doesn't always take you around the storms. Sometimes He takes you through them. And that's difficult. That's what happened in Joseph's life. God was taking him through the storm. It was also true in the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Isaiah 53 and 10. Yet it was God's will to crush him and to cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in His hand. The Lord might lead you into the middle of this storm, where the waves are crashing and the wind is blowing and all kind of debris is beginning to buffet you. But He says, the will of God will prosper in your hands. Told you that God's purposes in our trials is not to harm us, but develop us. Had there been no prison, there would have been no palace. Because Joseph wasn't ready for what God was going to spring upon him and the place he was going to put him. Joseph couldn't have handled it. If God promotes you too quick and gives you the desires of your heart before you're ready, He does you a great disservice. There's a preparation time. There's a molding that has to take place. God was preparing His man that would be second to Pharaoh, that would not only save Egypt, he would save his family from utter destruction. He didn't want to harm you. He wants to develop you so you can trust him to protect you. You can trust him to grow you even amid the hardships of life. Jeremiah 29:11, I've already alluded to it, says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Our God is in control. Let him be in control of your life. Bow your heads with me, would you please? I don't know where you may be this morning in life's road that you're walking. You might be in a difficult place. There may be some things that are coming against you that you just don't understand. Trust God. He's in control. You say, but Pastor, it hurts. Yes, it does. Old Brother Brody used to tell me, Bernie, God will pull you through anything if you'll just endure the tug. God may be tugging some of you through a hard time. So in this moment, when heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and you're talking to God and he's talking to you, let that encouragement be poured out upon you. If you're here and you'd say, Pastor, I'm going through some difficult moments. Things are a little hard. I don't understand a lot of stuff. Doesn't seem like anybody likes me. I sure could use some help, and I could use some prayer. I can't make ends meet. I don't know what I'm going to do in my future. All of these things may be swirling around. If you would say, I'm there, Pastor, please pray for me. Please remember me in prayer. If that's where you are, would you just slip your hand heavenward? I'll see it. God will see it. And I'll pray for you. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Up in the balcony, anybody? God knows, and God is able.